Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we have a lot of news to report from Elon Musk. He was interviewed for the Axel Springer Award earlier today. He talked about Tesla quite a bit, particularly related to autonomy, Tesla's market cap, and the company's willingness to partner with other companies, so we'll go through the summary on that. We also have another leaked Elon Musk email to go through, and then some news on the Cybertruck, Q4 deliveries, and battery supply. Quick look at the stock, Tesla fading a little bit from where it opened today, but closing the day up 3%. At $584.76, that compared to the NASDAQ with a pretty strong day up 1.3%. Tesla's volume today, quite low, only about 38.7 million shares traded hands, so that'd be the second lowest volume full day of trading that we've had since the S&P announcement. That volume is right at the one-month average and 59% of the last 12 months' average. Alright, so getting into the Elon Musk interview, this was earlier today. Elon was accepting the Axel Springer Award, the fifth person to win this award, so we sat down for about a 30-minute chat or so with Axel Springer's CEO. Overall, I thought it was a really good interview. I'll put the link in the show notes. A lot of stuff that we've heard before, of course, but some interesting new insights as well from Elon. I think the biggest headline will probably be Elon's comments around autonomous driving. Axel Springer's CEO asked, quote, "When is autonomous driving really, really going to happen?" End quote. And Elon said, quote, "I'm extremely confident of achieving full autonomy and releasing it to the Tesla customer base next year," end quote. So of course we've heard comments like this from Elon in the past, and we also have this sort of convolution going on between full autonomy and Tesla's full self-driving option, as oftentimes Elon will talk with that as a frame of reference and talk about when that option will be feature complete, which is not necessarily full autonomy. So the Axel Springer CEO did a great job here of clarifying that point, saying, "Level 5, really full autonomy?" And Elon replied, "Yes, yes," end quote. So just to clarify what that means, Level 5 is defined as the vehicle being in complete control and it can handle all circumstances, all conditions that a human driver could reasonably handle. So essentially, full autonomy. If we step down the levels, Level 4 is basically the same, except it is only in certain locations or in certain circumstances. So you can think of something that is geofenced or maybe only works during the daytime or when it's not raining, something like that. But if all those conditions are met, it can be fully autonomous. It doesn't even need to have a pedal or steering wheel. And again, the vehicle has full control and responsibility. Stepping down to Level 3, this is sort of the middle ground where under certain conditions within the drive, the car may be able to take over. But when those conditions are no longer the case, the car needs to then alert the driver to be ready to take over with a reasonable warning period. So a good example there is maybe it's highway only, where you don't really need to pay attention, there's no neg, but as you approach your exit, maybe the car tells you, hey, in 10 seconds you need to be ready to take over control. So to go from Level 2, where the driver is in full control but it has sort of assistance features, to go to Level 3 is really a big, significant step. And even with the full self-driving beta test, Tesla has not taken that step quite yet. But of course, that's what they hope to be able to collect enough data for to be able to prove that eventually the system can go ahead and confidently have control without needing that driver monitoring. If that happens on some portions of the drive, Tesla then is able to step up to Level 3. If Tesla is confident that that can happen for all portions of some drives, that steps up to Level 4. And if it can take over every drive all the time, that's Level 5. So Elon and Tesla feel confident that they can eventually get to Level 5. Elon here is saying that that will happen next year. Again, that would be quite a step up from where Tesla is today. As for regulations allowing something like this, Elon is confident that at least some jurisdictions will allow that next year. And from my limited research on this, I'm pretty sure many states already do. I think Florida is a great example where fully autonomous vehicles are already permitted and ready to go, where nothing would need to change in the regulations to allow a Level 5 operation. Of course, many other areas could be more strict in their regulation, and it'll sort of get phased in, I think, over time, if this is able to be achieved. As for other autonomous thoughts, Elon did share that he believes in 10 years almost all new cars produced will have full autonomous capability, and as far as electric vehicles, he said about 70 to 80% or more would be electric by that period of time. If Elon's comments on autonomy don't capture the most headlines, I think we've got a close runner-up here with his comments on Tesla's position in the market and their market cap. So the host kind of positioned a question of, you know, Elon, when we talked a couple of years ago, Tesla's market cap was $23 billion, while Volkswagen's was above 80. Now Tesla sits here at, you know, $530 billion, and Volkswagen around 77, I think he said. And whenever this gets brought up, Elon, I think, gets just a little bit uncomfortable. He started to laugh and he said, "Hey, I even said that the stock is too high. I mean, what am I supposed to do?" And I think his point there is well made. Elon gets accused all the time of sort of hyping things up or hyping the stock up But just like we walked through the last time he said this, there have been 5 or 6 instances in Tesla's history when Elon has made similar comments about the stock price, but he does always say that, hey, maybe it's overvalued today, but over the longer term, I think it'll still increase in price. Interestingly, in this little quip, he did mention that the SEC did complain to him again, I'm assuming about that tweet, the last time he said the stock price was too high. But if you actually look at Musk's settlement agreement with the SEC, which remember stemmed from his 420 Funding Secure tweet saga, there's nothing in that settlement that would prohibit Musk from tweeting about the stock price or his opinions on it, even without some sort of pre-approval for that tweet. So I'm not a lawyer, but nothing to be concerned about from that comment from Musk, in my opinion. Anyway, the real question that the Axel Springer CEO was getting to when bringing up the market cap and how Tesla's has skyrocketed compared to other automakers was, quote, is there a serious option to buy one of the incumbents, end quote. Elon was very open-minded in response to that. He said, quote, if someone said, hey, we think it would be a good idea to merge with Tesla, we'd certainly have that conversation, end quote. So again, something I expect a lot of headlines around, but if we look at how that answer is framed, he said, you know, if someone came to Tesla and said that they thought it'd be a good idea to merge, they would have the conversation. That's a lot different than even just saying something as simple as, yeah, we may consider that, because Musk clearly categorizes Tesla there as sort of the passive party. It doesn't directly address Tesla potentially going to acquire one of these companies, but the structure of the answer indicates that that's not something that's really on the table as a consideration currently. So I think neither of those things is surprising. I think this is very similar to Musk's comments about Tesla being willing to partner with other automakers in terms of potentially sharing some technology or acting as a supplier in the future or opening up the supercharger network. It's all stuff that Tesla has always expressed an openness to, and I think this is just an extension of that philosophy. But similarly to how I feel on the Tesla as a supplier angle, when it comes down to it, it's just not something I see as being a high likelihood. I think Tesla would have a lot to offer in a merger, but I'm not sure that they really get a whole lot back in bringing on some of that legacy weight that another automaker might have. You're getting a whole lot of stranded assets. You're getting a whole lot of culture that is not the Tesla culture. You know, you might get some factories, which you have to retool anyway. That's going to be perhaps as expensive, if not maybe even more expensive, than just building from a clean slate. And bringing any of that in probably brings in a union presence as well. So I think the only benefit that I really see would be potentially leveraging brand strength from others. But Tesla's got a strong brand. I think that's a pretty marginal benefit. And frankly, that's not the type of thing that Tesla puts a high value on. I think Tesla is much more likely to buy one of the battery suppliers versus another automaker. I think if there's anything on the automaker front, it would really have to come down to Tesla's mission of really trying to accelerate sustainable energy. So maybe trying to pull someone along as much as they can. And I think Tesla could be very helpful in those regards and then hopefully could get some value back from doing that. But there are ways to accomplish that without the burdens that a full merger would bring along. The rest of Elon's answers were pretty much things that he's covered in the past. He was asked why Berlin for their gigafactory in Europe. Here he just talked about how there's good living opportunities for sort of all ages or incomes in Berlin. Tesla's really focused on being able to attract that talent, attract those employees. And then Elon mentioned, of course, the techno music in Berlin being fantastic. As I'm recording this too, somebody on Twitter had pointed out to me that Elon actually did about a half an hour discussion before his interview for accepting the award. It was called the Pioneers Talk. And noteworthy in this, he did talk about how long he thinks it might take Tesla to reach a 500,000 unit per year level of production from Giga Berlin, and he said that might be roughly to the end of 2022. So I think that's the first time we've heard that sort of communication, good one to keep in our back pockets. As for demand, he was asked about that. He said he has zero doubt on demand. What he's worried about is affordability thresholds and being able to achieve those, not demand. Elon did also confirm in this talk something that we had speculated on previously. Remember, Green the Only had found some references to 5G in the firmware code, and Elon said here that, quote, our cars are now about to transition to 5G, end quote. For everyone out there that loves to speculate on a possible Tesla electric jet, in this Pioneers talk, Elon was also asked about this. He reiterated that really you need to see energy density above 400 watt hours per kilogram. He said today we're at just above 300 watt hours per kilogram. So that's interesting in and of itself. He said there are some cells that are really expensive that can do 400 watt hours per kilogram today, but that he expects they'll approach that with high volume cells over time, and that the electrification of aircraft should start to occur reasonably soon, and that in about 5 years, we'll probably start seeing those electric jets. As for a quick note on SpaceX, Elon was asked realistically, when would humans land on Mars for the first time? He said, quote, I feel fairly confident about 6 years from now, end quote. Adding that if we get lucky, maybe 4 years, and that they aspire to do a cargo run to Mars in 2 years, And by the way, those milestones are always in 2-year increments because that's when the orbits of Mars and Earth allow for the most fuel-efficient connection to be made. Technically, it's every 26 months, but simplified for 2 years. Last thing I'll mention about this interview, just sort of a general takeaway, I think Elon Musk seemed to be in really great spirits. He was in a good mood, seemed well-rested, laughing a lot, making a lot of jokes. So that was nice to see. A lot of times people read into Elon's mood or his tweets or something like that for, you know, delivery outcomes. I don't do that. Happiness is a lot more complex than that, especially for someone like Elon Musk with all the different things that he's got going on. I just pointed it out because, number one, it's nice to see, and number two, Elon definitely seems fully recovered now from COVID, which of course he tested positive for a couple weeks back. As for an interpretation on Tesla, I think at least you can say that, you know, Tesla's not in a dire condition, but I think at this point, we're all pretty aware of that. All right, next up here, we also happen to have a leaked email from Elon Musk to Tesla employees today. Electrek posted about this midday today, so I'll just read the email in full here. It's relatively short. Elon says, quote, "At a time like this when our stock is reaching new highs, it may seem as though spending carefully is not as important. This is definitely not true. When looking at our actual profitability, it is very low at around 1% for the past year. Investors are giving us a lot of credit for future profits, but if at any point they conclude that's not going to happen, our stock will immediately get crushed like a souffle under a sledgehammer. Much more important, in order to make our cars more affordable, we have to get smarter about how much we spend. This is a tough game of pennies, requiring thousands of good ideas to improve part cost, a factory process, or simply the design, while increasing quality and capabilities. A great idea would be one that saves $5, but the vast majority are 50 cents here or 20 cents there. In order to make the electric revolution happen, we must make electric cars, stationary batteries, and solar affordable to all. Thanks and great working with you as always, Elon," end quote. So I think the common first reaction when you see an email like this is, uh-oh, Tesla is struggling with profitability. Q4 must be bad, or something like that. I definitely don't think that's the case. I mean, we have had price drops on the Model S. We've seen some price drops in China during the course of the quarter, but for the most part, I think Tesla has held prices steady, and we've actually even seen an increase in the price of full self-driving. And if that release goes wider, Tesla will be able to recognize a lot of that revenue this quarter. And all those are before considering that we should easily see all-time high delivery numbers this quarter. And last quarter, Tesla posted almost a 4% profit. Their GAAP net income was $331 million on just shy of $9 billion in revenue. And even for the last 12 months, Tesla's GAAP net income margin has been 2% even. So I have no concerns about Q4 being profitable. They should clear that bar very easily. I think this can be taken very much at face value. It's just Elon saying, hey, don't get distracted by the high stock price. That doesn't mean we have achieved victory yet. Overall, we're not extremely profitable. We still need to focus on cutting costs and bringing prices down for customers. To me, it's as simple as that. Next up here is another article from Electrek. They posted today about how Tesla is reaching out to some Cybertruck order holders, suggesting that, hey, maybe it's a good idea to, while you wait for your Cybertruck, lease another Tesla. Okay, seems like pretty, you know, normal business dealings to me, but this did get a little bit of attention because one line in here says, quote, "The dual and tri-motor configurations are currently scheduled to begin production in late 2021, with delivery projected to take place in early 2022, end quote. So if this were sort of official communication from Tesla, I think that could be considered a delay. Last we heard from Musk in mid-October was that he does still expect some deliveries to happen in 2021 if things go well. That is the communication that I would stick with because this email seems to be sent by an individual person at Tesla. This email starts out by saying, quote, "I saw you have a Cybertruck reservation with us," end quote. And later on in the email, it goes on to, I think, misleadingly present the California Clean Fuel Reward by saying, quote, "We are currently offering a $1,500 California Clean Fuel Reward," end quote, which isn't really a fair characterization of it because Tesla's not offering it, California is. So I think this is just an individual salesperson reaching out to contacts that they have in their system, trying to get them to lease vehicles. Seems pretty clear that this is not sort of a corporate-sponsored message. So I think it's extremely likely that as far as Cybertruck delivery dates go, this person probably doesn't have much more information than any of the rest of us do. The communication also doesn't worry me too much from a demand perspective. Again, I'm still waiting on my Model 3 that I ordered in mid-October. Teslarati also happened to have an article today about communication received by a prospective Model 3 buyer, which said, quote, "Hello, happy holidays, hope all is well. Redacted from Tesla here. I wanted to connect to see if you were ready to move forward with the Model 3 order prior to our cutoff date of December 8th. If you are still interested in taking delivery before the end of the year, feel free to reach out at your earliest convenience to redacted@tesla.com, end quote. So interesting to see that cutoff date of December 8th. I would imagine that would vary by location. And I definitely think it's possible that for the last, you know, week or two of the quarter, Tesla could be producing vehicles that maybe don't have an order yet, but that Tesla feels they can get an order for still before the end of the year out of an inventory type of situation. And I would imagine that a lot of that production in those last week or two is going to be really concentrated right as close as they can get it to Fremont. So I think, yeah, if you're in, you know, New York and you're looking to get a Model 3 before the end of the year, you probably have to speak up for one before mid-December, but California might be a different story. We're definitely about to get in the thick of it though. December, I think, is probably going to be the craziest month of deliveries for Tesla ever, and I would imagine that as these weeks go by, we'll probably see another leaked email from Elon addressing that topic. All right, finally today we have a report from Reuters that LG Chem, quote, plans to more than double production capacity of battery cells it makes in China for Tesla Inc. electric vehicles next year, sources said, to keep up with its U.S. clients' growth in the biggest car market, end quote. So pretty big news in and of itself, but I also think not all that surprising. What is really interesting here, though, is that this report also says that they will ship their increased output, quote, from China as well as Korea to Tesla's factories in Germany and the United States, said two people with knowledge of the matter, end quote. From everything that we've heard so far, it certainly seems like Germany only intends to use 4680 cells. So this is really interesting. Maybe LG would actually have that production up and running next year. Of course, we've had previous reports that LG is working on a larger cell form factor, presumably the 4680s, but that does seem pretty quick if so. I think the other realistic possibilities are, you know, number one, maybe this report is just incorrect, or number two, maybe Tesla would be using non-4680 cells in Germany for energy products, so maybe some of this LG supply would be going to Germany for that. I'd definitely love to hear thoughts on that in the comments, but that'll do it for today. A lot to go through, but as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, December 2nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.